Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Doug Stives is here, too, because he's one of the smartest guys that I know. And he and I have got some things to talk about. Doug is the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust and the senior partner at Kirchen & Company and our good friend. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. You want to talk about something a little bit different than some of the stuff we've talked about in the past. You want to talk about 1031 exchanges, right?
Well, since it's August and most people aren't worried about their tax returns at this point, I get calls regularly, hey, Doug, as a CPA, what can you do to save me money, or should I just wait and come see you during tax season? And I use that to a very important lead-in. For those people that have accountants, or even if you don't have one, this is the time of year to go sit with your accountant or your CPA, not March. If people come in to see me in March to do their 2006 tax return, as you well know, Jim, there's not a whole lot we can do for them.
At that point, it's a tax mail, right?
It's what we call compliance. It's putting numbers on forms and pushing them out. But at this time of year, we can talk. I met with a client last night, for example, that he's got about three different businesses, and I won't go through it in detail, but he's got them set up all kind of cockeyed, and we're going to reorganize his whole setup and save him payroll taxes and get some money stuffed away into a pension plan and allow him to buy out a dissident shareholder and so forth and so on. Now, we got to do that right now before the end of the year. We've got a couple of months to do it in kind of a slow season for us, and it makes everybody happy. But you were leading into what I want to talk about this morning, and that's my favorite section, the Internal Revenue Code.
Why is it your favorite?
Well, because it saves people a lot of money.
1031.
That's it. It can't cost you money. It can only save you money. And there are not too many parts of the federal tax law that have that feature, as you know, Jim.
Tell us, give us the broad definition of the general application of Section 1031.
Well, see, you told me that you don't pay me to do this, so I told you that I baited you now. So now, if you want to know,
the check's in the mail.
That's okay. The overview of Section 1031 is this: if you sell business or investment property, most typically real estate. If you have an office building, an apartment house, or just maybe a second or third home in your family that you rent out, business or investment property, in other words, not the house you live in, and you sell that property, the gain on it is normally taxable. But Section 1031 says very simply, if you take the money from the property you're selling and reinvest it in a replacement business or investment property within 180 days, you pay no tax whatsoever.
Of course, that's similar to your home exemption, right?
Well, that's a different rule, but you're right, is that
that's what most of us are familiar with. If I sell my house and make a profit, and I do that over my lifetime, but within 2 years, I put that into another house, I don't pay any tax on that.
Well, it's a little different than that. What you just stated is the law that was the former law on residences. Let's just make sure everybody understands what it is now. If my wife and I sell my house right now, and we get, let's just pick a number. Let's say I get $500,000 for my house. I pay no tax on that because the federal government or the IRS says that if I make up to $500,000, and that's $500,000 profit, Jim, not just sale price, and as long as I've used that house for two out of the last 5 years as our primary residence, there's no tax.
Okay.
Now, that's, I hate to get complicated.
No, I'm glad you clarified that. But
yeah,
but you got 2 years. But if it fits those parameters, you've got 2 years to put it in another house, right?
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Not anymore. They changed the law a number of years ago. In fact, I'll embarrass you. In 1997, they changed the law.
Wow.
That's when you started your show, see? So you've been busy doing this
show.
See,
this is why I have you on the show, because I'm dangerous otherwise. Go ahead. Yeah.
1997, they changed the law. Before that, you're absolutely right. If you sold your house for any price, after, as long as
well, I haven't sold a house since then, so I guess that's what that means.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But if you and your wife sell your house today, this year, or any time going forward, you can have a $500,000 profit. So if you paid $300,000 for the house, you could sell it for up to $800,000 and pay absolutely no tax, and you don't have to replace it.
Regardless.
Personal rental control. You can take
the
money front.
Very interesting.
Where you can buy down or buy two houses, whatever.
And so I'm only 9 years behind. That's not too bad. I've been worse.
I wasn't going to rub that in.
I've been worse. It's okay.
No,
my audience knows that I don't get it. I don't always get it right. I just try to get it close. I'm not sure 9 years is close enough, though. When we come back, folks, I'm going to lick my wounds for about 3 minutes, and then we're going to talk about what 1031 can do for you. It's a very important section that it might be just right for you. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I appreciate all of you who've been using it, and those of you who haven't, what are you waiting on? I think it'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, to start, run, and grow your small business. I know that it will, because many of you have told us that it does. And you can check out the archives and the articles and lots of on-demand capability there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog while you're there. The newsletter comes on Sunday by email once a week, and the blog is 5 days a week, which you can check out on your own, or we'll send it to you every weekday. We update it every weekday. Doug Stiles has been a part of our Brain Trust and a very valuable member for a number of years now. We're probably somewhere around our eighth year now that we've been working together, and he's the resident CPA of our Brain Trust, by the way, folks. And we're talking, Doug, about 1031 exchanges. And now that you've told us a little bit about what the 1031 section is about, tell us how we use it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sidetrack you for a split second. As you just talked about your website, guess what?
Have you got a new website?
Kirchen 1031 is the website for the subject we're talking about this morning.
All right.
CURCHIN1031.com.
Good for you.
And at light.
You're serious about this, aren't you?
Oh, you bet. It's about a third of my practice at this point, Jeff.
Wow.
We've set up our own, what we call, qualified intermediary company, which means we basically walk people through the whole exchange. We hold their money because the law says if you sell your business or investment property, you can't touch the money. It has to go to an escrow agent, which is known as a qualified intermediary, and that's one of the things that we do here. Now, let me stop there. If you are involved with a 1031 exchange, and I'm advertising, Jim, but let me do that for a second, is you need to know who your qualified intermediary is, because it's an unregulated industry.
Mm-hmm.
Remarkable to me. People will send billions of dollars from the sale of business property to somebody they never heard of.
Right.
And there have been a couple of scandals.
Wow.
A guy out in the West Coast last year that took off with about $30 million.
Wow.
You're not putting the money in the bank. You're not putting the money into some regulated governmental agency.
It's the equivalent of an attorney's escrow fund, isn't it?
Well, it's not even that good. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But it's
more like that, though, isn't it?
I mean, they just disbarred about eight guys up here in my state.
Yeah, that happens.
Around with their escrow fund.
That happens sometimes. But it's similar to that, though, right?
It is, because what we suggest, whether people use us or anybody else, make sure that the people you're using have insurance and that they're bonded.
Mm-hmm.
Find out where the money is,
and that this is something that they practice. That they is part of their practice.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I mean, just to give you an example, a lot of people that deal with real estate around the country, specifically title companies, typically set up a qualified intermediary as part of their business. Well, we're a CPA firm, as you certainly know, and we set this up because we had so many people that were coming to us for advice in this area, and we said, while we're at it, we'll serve as your qualified intermediary.
Right.
Now, you can't be, for my regular clients, the clients that use our firm for tax advice and for the tax preparation and so forth, we can't serve as their QI. You have to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
So my regular clients we send elsewhere, but I'm picking up this from my colleagues and other referrals.
But what is the application? I mean, tell us, who would use a 1031, the Section 1031?
Okay. Let's assume that I own this office building that I'm speaking to you from this morning. And let's just assume that I paid $1 million for it 10 years ago. And I'm going to turn it over, I'm going to sell it now in the open market, and somebody's going to give me $3 million for it. So I've got a $2 million gain. Now, if I just take the money and decide to put it somewhere else, or just invest it or use it to pay off mortgages or whatever, I need to pay tax on that $2 million, both federal and state tax on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the tax on that's going to be like $400,000 or $500,000, depending on what type of gain it is and state tax is. But 1031 says I can completely avoid that. If I sell my building for $3 million and I put the money from the sale in with this qualified intermediary, who's my escrow account holder, and then within 180 days I buy replacement property, I find another piece of business or investment property, or for that matter, Jim, I could find multiple properties. I could go out and buy 10 replacements.
So was it such a thing in the old days where you sort of had to have a buyer and a seller together? You had to do like a swap where you had to luck up on somebody who could exchange a property with you?
That's the way it was done like 50 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. I remember something about that.
Now,
because of 1031, you can basically go to the open market, can't you?
That's right. There was a case back in, I believe it was in the 1960s, Jim, known as Starker. It was a court case, a taxpayer that wanted to do this, and they fought it in court and finally got the court to say, yes, you can do it this way on a delayed exchange, is the generic term.
Mm-hmm.
Where I go back to my example, I sell for $3 million, I escrow the funds, and then I have 45 days to select or identify replacement property, and 180 days to actually close to take title of the new property. And the gimmick is, we haven't said that yet, is you pay absolutely no tax. You move the money from one building to another. It could even be vacant land. It could be any real estate. I could sell my office building and buy an apartment house or buy a couple.
But not a residence.
It can be a residence, but you can't live in it.
That's what I mean. It has to be an investment type property.
That's right.
Now, one thing. So, let's say I've got an apartment complex, and somebody wants it more than me, and I'm a little tired of collecting the rent, and I'm ready to do something else.
Right.
And so I have an opportunity to sell this property. But I don't know what I'm going to do with the proceeds. I want to put it back into something. I don't know what I want to do. But what you're saying is without 1031, if I sold the property, I'd have to pay taxes, even though maybe 90 days later I bought another property.
That's right. That's right.
But with 1031, it bridges that gap.
That's right. And I'll put words in your mouth. Let's say that you come to me and said, Doug, I've had enough. I don't want to be a landlord anymore.
Right.
We'll be back.
Hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought, Doug. We got to take a quick break. We're getting into the really good stuff now, folks. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Doug Stodge. Stay with us.
How long has it been?
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Doug Stives, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show and senior partner at Kirchen & Company. And that website's Kirchen.com, right, Doug? C-U-R-T-C-H-E-I-N?
Yes, C-U-R-C-H-I-N.
I-N, C-U-R-C-H-I-N, .com, and that's not your grandfather's CPA website, by the way, folks. And then the other one, the 1031 website, give us that again, please.
Kirchen, C-U-R-C-H-I-N, 1031.com.
That's where you can find everything you'd ever want to know about this 1031 exchange. And you were just about to get to the good stuff when we went to the break, Doug.
Yeah, this is probably, I think, the brightest light in this whole 1031 discussion. Is you're being my shill here this morning. You're selling your rental property you're just tired of, or somebody offered you more than you think it's worth. So you sell it. And you put your money with a qualified intermediary and go looking for replacement property. Now, if I was counseling, I'd say, Jim, what do you want to do? And you said, Doug, I'm a skier. I'd love to have a house out in Colorado that we'd go to during ski season. And then, as I get older, I might want to rent a house or have a house down in Florida that I could retire to.
Mm-hmm.
What we would tell you to do is buy the house in Colorado and buy the house in Florida. Now, you can't live in either one of them when you first buy it. They have to be replacement investment properties.
Right.
Well, that's fine. You stay where you are, and you rent both of those houses for a while, maybe a year or two, at least a year. And then here's the gimmick, is at the end of that year's rental, you can throw the tenants out and move into either or both of those replacement properties. Make one of them your primary residence if you want to, Jim, and you never pay a dime of tenants.
Wow.
Now, if 10
How cool is that?
If 10 years later...
Does the IRS know about this?
Oh, of course. In fact, they...
We might not want to tell them about this. They'll change this.
No, they wrote that rule. They wrote that rule for the... For the people that, you know, like numbers out there or somebody that's following this.
Better not tell Ted Kennedy.
Well, he wouldn't understand it. You can laugh.
He'd understand that it's costing him tax dollars he could spend. I'll tell you that.
No. We could draw pictures and that boy wouldn't understand it.
Well, that's a pretty cool device there, isn't it?
The IRS themselves published what they call a revenue procedure just last year. It explained what I just talked about.
But it has to be real estate, right?
Well,
in other words, if somebody comes up with a big stock, they sell a bunch of stock and make a lot of money. It can't be that way, right?
That doesn't work. That's very, very important. You can do this with real estate.
Another good reason to put your money in real estate, right?
Well, you can do 1031 with other business property. I did it with a construction company where they were selling off a bunch of construction equipment.
Hmm.
I 1031 that and bought
really?
Other construction equipment.
And so the 1031 worked for other assets, not just real estate.
That's right.
But it has to be business assets.
It can be business or investment assets, but as you clarified, it cannot be stock. It can't be an interest in a partnership.
Inventory can be inventory.
It cannot be inventory. That's
mm-hmm.
correct. Mm-hmm. So generally, where you see it 99% of the time is real estate, and we emphasize you can sell commercial and buy residential real estate. You can sell vacant land and buy commercial, any real estate, as long as it's in the United States. It can't be foreign, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you sell that real estate that you did the exchange for, now you've got a new basis in that, though, that's going to be taxable?
Right. That's right.
They're going to get their money eventually.
Well, no. Here's what happens. Let's go back to our earlier example. You sell your apartment house. You buy that house in Colorado and Florida. You move into one of them. You could sell the one you move into and go back to what we talked about at the beginning of the segment here, is you could take a $500,000 gain on that and pay
no up to $500,000.
Or you can die with it if you've just...
And pass it on.
Die with them, your family...
How about that?
...stepped-up basis. You can just keep doing it and doing it.
1031, folks, you need to know more about that. Check with your CPA about that or check with Doug at Kirchin.com or Kirchin1031.com. Doug, we got less than a minute. We got some big dates coming up, right?
We do. September 15th is the last date that you can file an extended corporate 2005 tax return. So if you have a corporation and you extended the due date back on March 15th, it was extended 6 months. September 15th is only a few weeks away.
That's it. That's the drop-dead date. And then personal is October 15th.
October 17th this year.
Okay, that's right.
Saturday. And that is it. You cannot get another extension past those dates.
That's right. You got to make sure you do that. Doug, you did a good job today. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm awake.
It's always a pleasure. You've been a great supporter of all the things that we do over the years, and we appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Doug Stives, ladies and gentlemen, the resident CPA. He's not your grandfather's CPA either, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.